Now, I was just thinking of the scripture in Psalms where David said, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be exceeding glad in it." Are you glad today? Are you happy? Or have the cares and the troubles of this world caused you to be worried and discouraged? You know, I'm afraid there are too many that would have to say yes to that last question. Too many people today are worried and discouraged. And friends, this ought not to be. If we're God's children, we should be satisfied and content in His love, knowing that He made this day and all that is in it. We should let Him have our troubles and all of our cares. If we believe His word, it tells us that His burdens are light and His yoke is easy. And if things are hard, we must be out of His will. I believe the word of God said the way of a transgressor is hard. But we must be out of His will or else we haven't turned it over to Him. You know, I feel like that's the problem today, that most people haven't turned it over to us. I feel like the Lord today knows our problems. And I know that He knows that there's trouble on every hand. But do you know that in Him there's peace? Jesus told us that in the world that you have tribulation, but in Me you'll have peace. Another place He said, "Be of good comfort, for I have overcome the world." I want to read some today in the 5th chapter of 1 Peter. And I want you to listen to what the Word of God tells us. You know, sometimes we want to be strong in the Lord and we want to grow, but we don't want what causes that. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to 1 Peter 5, beginning at verse 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Humble yourself. Why did He tell us to do that? To be humble is to admit your defects or weaknesses. And you know, so many times, instead of letting God have our problems, we think we can handle them. Or we think we're so big and we know so much that we can handle our problems. And God just shows us how wrong that we are. Without Him, we can do nothing. We take our problems and we try to work them out ourselves and we, you know, sometimes it seems like we say, "Here they are, Lord," and then we reach out, "Oh, wait a minute, Lord, let me have them back. Let me try just a little bit longer." Then we'll start to give them to Him and say, no, let me try just a little bit longer. And we just keep thinking, well, maybe I can fix it myself. And you know, we keep on and on until we get things in such a mess that we finally realize that we can't do anything and we just have to turn it over to God. How much easier it would have been if we would have just let Him have it to start with. If we would have just humbled ourselves under His mighty hand and said, "Lord, here it is. I don't understand it, but do whatever seems good in Thy sight." You know, when we lift ourselves up and think that we're something, God causes us to be abased. But when we lift Him up in our lives and give Him the control and turn it all over to Him, He lifts us up. So, children of God, today, cast your cares on Him. Look back over your life. Has He ever failed you? No. Oh, no, He's never failed. How many times have we failed Him? Many, many times, but He never failed us. Let's go on in the Word of God. Listen to verses 8 and 9. "Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." All friends, we need to be sober. A man that's sober has control, but a man that's drunk, whether he doesn't have control of things. You know, I've thought so many times, I've told him that, you know, you can watch a drunk man walk up the steps at a building and reach for the door handle. He thinks he knows right exactly where it's at, but he'd miss it. He'll reach something, he thinks he knows where it's at, and he misses it because he's not sober, he's drunk. And sometimes, friends, that's how a man is that's drunk with the cares of this life. He's confused. He don't know what to do or don't know how to do. And we need to be sober. And if we keep our cares cast on Him, friends, we can be sober. Be diligent. That's careful and sincere, doing all that you know to do. The adversary is dangerous. He's after your soul today, and He knows that His time is short, and He's working overtime to keep people out of the kingdom of God. You know, I think so many times that through the years, he's been a roaring lion. But now it seems like he's a sneaky fox. As I preached a few weeks ago, he uses those seducing spirits now. There was a time when he used whips and stakes and fire and crosses, but now he uses these old discouraging spirits. These old seducing spirits get a hold of people. I heard a sister testify one time about reading a book about Satan's store. And in this store, he had all his tools and had every evil tool imaginable. He had hatred and envy and jealousy and drunkenness and strife and murder. All these evil things were on the shelves back there. And the book told us, it said there was one old tool over in a corner. And said it looked something like a hole that had been used and used. And this person had come in to buy something, had said, what's that old tool over in the corner? And how much does it cost? Satan said, that's not for sale. Said, that's old discouragement, and it'll work when nothing else will. And children of God, that's what he's using on us today. Telling us it's no use. If things are so bad anyway, we might as well quit trying. We need to resist him. Say, Satan, get thee behind me. Word of God said, resist Satan, and he'll flee from you. We need to say, Satan, I'm turning everything over to God. He can handle it. Be sober. Quit trying to handle it yourself. Let God have it. Sometimes we want the easy way out, the path of least resistance. We don't want any trials or trouble, but that's the way that God has ordained that we grow. And I want you to know, friends, today that troubles and trials can either be your enemy or they can be your friend. There's two different ways to take a trial. I tell it so many times, and probably on this program I've told it because it's my philosophy. And I believe it, the Word of God backs it up. There's two ways to take a trial. When a trial comes and it begins to get so heavy and so hard on you, you can say, oh, poor little me. Oh, I've tried so hard. I've worked for God, and I've done this, and I've done that, and I just don't understand this. I don't understand why I'm having these trials and all these troubles are coming. And you'll probably get through the trial, but you won't grow a bit. You won't get any strength out of it at all. But on the other hand, you get that trial, when it comes, it begins to get so heavy and so hard, and it seems like you don't know hardly what to do or how to go. You can just say, Lord, I don't understand this, but I know thy word is true, and I know that you said you'd go with me all the way, even unto the end of the world. And I don't know when this is going to straighten out. I don't know how it's going to straighten out, but I know that the word of God, that your word says all things work together for good to them that love you, and I believe with all my heart that I love you. And friends, when you stand there and take that trial like that, it'll still be a trial. But when it's over with and you look back, it'll be a strength. When you look back, if you could measure how far them roots had grown, when you look back, if you took it that first way, the wrong way, they didn't grow any. But if you could look back again and see how that root had grown when you took it the right way, friend, it grew deeper into that soil, maybe an inch or two. And you got on down into that soil of God's good love and his good word. Don't be discouraged when trials come. Don't be upset when things happen, because God has ordained that we grow through trials and through tribulations. Listen to this next verse, the verse 10 in the 5th chapter of 1 Peter. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, sell you. Oh, thank God. Thank God today. Children, how many of you listening would like to be perfect? How many would like to be perfect? How many of you would like to be established in God's ways where you couldn't be moved? How many of you like to be strengthened and have that strength of God to overcome these trials and to overcome Satan? And how many of you like to be settled? You know, a person that settles not easily moved. They're there. They're not moved. But when do you get it? Everybody out there listening will say, oh, I'd love to be perfect, Brother Billy, to be established, to be strengthened and settled. But when do you get all of this? How do you get it? Oh, thank God. Listen, it's after that you have suffered a while. Friends, it's after. We want all this, and we just don't want to suffer. We want it now. But you don't receive these things until after that ye have suffered a while. God has ordained that we would have that we would have to suffer to obtain these things. And you know, the world, the human nature, leaves all ideals
of suffering out. You ever notice that? They know, and they try to totally leave it out. They say, Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, have a nice day, Happy Birthday. You know, all these things. We want to live in a fairy tale world where everything is happiness and everything is peace and, you know, and everything is joy. But Jesus said he brought a sword to the world. And I tell you now, God's word teaches us a man that's born of a woman is of a full few days full of trouble, children. And all but those troubles make us better people. They are, to me, they're to the Christian what fertilizer is to plants in a garden. They cause us to grow toward that that God would have us to be. And you know, somebody out there I know is thinking, well, I'll never be perfect. Well, let me tell you something. A Christian that's not perfected is kind of like a painting that never got finished. You know, I've got a friend that paints, and he's good at it. And I remember he had one painting that was nearly finished, and for it all, it seemed like it was for a couple of years, and he was always going to finish it. But something always hindered him. Finally, one day he went ahead, he did finish it, complete it, and sent it to the person that he had promised it to. But all that time, the picture wasn't done. If something had happened to him, an accident or something bad, you know, we would always look at that picture, and no doubt we'd have said, boy, this is good. I sure do wish old so-and-so would have finished. And you know, if we're not perfect in God's sight, that's what we are. Short of perfection, that's what we are, just an unfinished picture. Someone might say, well, we can't be perfect. Well, if we can't be perfect, then Jesus told us to do something that we can't do. He told us to be perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. We can be perfect, friends. We can be. But it'll take some trials and some suffering first. We're not going to be perfect. Perfection comes after that you have suffered a while. Let's go and see what this meant to establish. Establish. Said the that after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect and establish. Now, establishment. I believe that everybody else out there is just like me. We just all folks. And, you know how I want to be established in God's place. I know how my desires are, how I want to be established. And I know that you're thinking, too, oh, I'd like to be established. Would we really? Would we really want to be established? You know, one of the meanings of established is to be accepted, and another is to prove. Well, how would we be accepted and proved? The Word of God said over in the 12th chapter of Romans, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, thank God, he tells us. They don't leave us in the dark on nothing, does he? He tells us exactly what to do. Offer ourselves, our bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And if you've offered your body a living sacrifice and a trial comes and trouble comes, what would you do? What would you do? Would you complain and murmur? Or if it was offered as a living sacrifice, I don't believe it would, do you? How would we be accepted and proved if we've lived for God and stood the test? That's how we can be accepted. That's how we offer that body a living sacrifice. And when the trials and the troubles come, and we prove what we are. We prove that we're established in God's way. I heard a story one time, and it was about an old man and his grandson, and they went out to cut down a tree for axe handle. And they came to a little shady glen, you know, off down in the cove of the mountain, and the little boy found a tree, and he said, Grandpa, here's a good tree. And the old man shook his head and said, no, son. He said, let's go up on the side of the hill where the winds have blown and the storms have raged. And those trees have stood the test. They've bent under the storm and the winds, and their roots are deep. He said, they'll make good axe handles. And you know, friends, them old trees that had been under the storm and stood the test are the strongest because their roots have gone the deepest. Oh, thank God. Glory to God. Be rooted and grounded in Christ. Those that's been on the road for a while, the older children of God, the younger children of God, look to you. And they're full of doubts. A young person, they got doubts and fears that come from inexperience or not experience. But my fear, friends, my fear is that too many times when they look at the old gray-haired ones, they see the same doubts and fears in them that they feel, and it causes them to be more discouraged. Too many times we haven't grown through our trials. Too many of us have grown old, but haven't grown deep and established in God's ways. Oh, friends, thank God today we need to be established in God's ways. We need to grow deep in His ways. And I believe Paul taught like one place that we could be conformed to His suffering. And you think you've got suffering and you've got problems. Read what Jesus went through sometime. Read the suffering and the pain that He went through. We want to be established. We need to grow deep, and we want to grow deep and be established in God's way. But how does that happen? After that ye have suffered a while. That's when the establishing comes. After, you know, it's after. Everybody wants to be established, but they don't want to suffer. But again, that's God's way. After that ye have suffered a while, you're established. And all friends, we need to understand that. We need to understand that. This is a beautiful scripture. And all, so many times, in my mind, I could just think somebody say, well, how long have you got to suffer? I don't know how long. Word of God, every time I pick it up and read it, it still says, after that ye have suffered a while. Well, if I suffer a week and I pick it up and read it, it still says, after that ye have suffered a while. It's when God sees that enough is enough. And friends, He's never, never come too late. There's no song we used to sing about old Job. It said, old Job was sick so long till his flesh fell from his bones. His wife, his cattle, his children, everything that he had was gone. And he said, old Job looked up and said, why? He said, did you put this upon me? He said, come down and see about me. And the song says, he may not come when you call him, but he'll come on time. I've never known him to be late. Never in all my years of serving him have I ever known him to be late. I've suffered a while, and then I've suffered a while longer. And then I've suffered a while longer, but never has he been too late. He's always come on time. And thank God today he'll still come on time. This is a good scripture. This is a good scripture to read when you feel discouraged. Listen to what he said. The next thing was strengthen. Strengthen. Oh, strengthen. How would you like to be strong in God's ways? You know, to our shame, children of God, today, it seems that we're weak instead of strong. When a child of God is strong in the Lord, he can fight the giants. But when he's weak, he trembles at every thought that old Satan sends his way. Every thought. And you know, today we need to be strong. Oh, we need to be strong so bad. We need to be strong, children of God, to fight, to overcome the devil. You know, I was talking with a couple of brethren a day or two ago, and the conversation turned to how strong that the older ones were and how that they spent hours in prayer agonizing with God on their knees. The power they had with God then, by comparison to what we've got today, didn't seem to be too good. We kind of compared them to us, and we didn't seem to come out too good. Not too good at all. Well, why? What's happened to us? I believe we're eating the wrong things. We're filled with our own ways. Strength from God comes from letting Him be your everything. Paul, talking about Christ, said, in whom we live and move and have our being. Oh, friends, listen. We need, that's how we grow strong. We need to live, let Him be our everything. Let Him be where we live and move and have our being. I've heard an old saying, which I think came from some football coach. It said, no pain, no gain. And that's so true. Oh, that's so true in God's ways too. As Peter tells us here, after that you have suffered a while, don't hunt the easy road. Don't do that. Jesus one time, his disciples asked him, said, are there few that make it? Or I don't remember exact words used, but Jesus said, strive ye to enter in at the straight gate, for broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. But straight is the gate, and narrow the way that leads to life eternal. That broad way, there's so many people that are going on it. But you know that straight and narrow way of God's? You know what that word straight means? Now, it's spelled S-T-R-A-I-T, not S-T-R-A-G-H-T, I-G-H-T. It's spelled S-T-R-A-I-T. And the meaning of that word straight, it's a straight gate. And that word means strict, rigid, narrow, tight. Friend, it's a straight way. It's a strict way of God. And I want that strength. And I believe you do too. But remember how we receive it. After that ye have suffered a while. If we stay strong in God's ways, if we want to grow and be strong in His ways, we'll lay our ways down. I quoted that scripture about offer your body a living sacrifice. You know, a sacrifice is something you love, and your ways are part of you, and you love them. Things that you want to do that interfere with your serving God, if you want to be strong and strengthened in them, you lay them down. God's ways are as far above ours as the heavens are the earth. And we need to understand that and to seek after God's ways, to strive after His ways. Friends, because this world's coming to an end. And then what will your ways matter then? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's what Paul said over in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that's what we need to do. Listen, now let me go on before I run out of time. The last one is to settle you. That's the last one in this verse. And to settle is to put in order, to free from worry or disturbance. Man, that sounds good, don't it? To have everything in order and to be free from worry or disturbance. Do you know anybody that wouldn't like to be like that? Everybody I know would like to be free from worry and disturbance. Well, the way to have this is to know who you are, what you are, and who you're trusting in. Oh, I tell you what, friends. The Word of God taught like said, I know whom I have trusted and am persuaded that He is able to keep that I have committed unto Him against that day. When we understand that we've trusted the King of the universe. Like the old song says, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Oh, thank God. I know who holds tomorrow. And when you know that, you're settled. You're not easily moved. You know, there's so many people that change with every little wind that blows. As one old brother put it, they're just whoever's dog it wants to hunt with. You need to know God's word to be sure you're trusting Him and going by His word and not just your wants and your ways. If there's too many people that twist His word for convenience and ease and to be able to justify their ways. And like I said so many times, you can take the Bible and prove anything you want to prove if you start reading in the right place and quick enough. If we serve God and always make it, thus saith the Lord, we will suffer. We will suffer. Satan won't like it, and he'll howl. Suffer whatever you have to, friends, but stand on the Word of God. If mother, father, brothers, sisters, children, friends, and even wife cause you to suffer, hold to God's unchanging Word. Don't waver in that you know is God's Word. Hold the standard up. Don't allow yourself to lower what you know is God's standard to appease others. Don't give in to them. Suffer that you must for God's word. Whatever comes. You know, because God's word tells us here that Christ, after you have suffered a while, will make you perfect, strengthen, establish, and settle you. God never promised, friends, that this road would be easy, but he did promise us a safe landing if we trust him. And you know, my time's about gone, totally, and I got to finish. And I thought about, we complain about too many things. I read a book, and in the first part of that book, this little story was there, and this was the name of the book, too, but it said, once a young boy and his sister were climbing a hill, and a girl began to complain about the path that was full of rock that she had to climb over. And to this, her little brother answered and said, yeah, I know. The bumps are what you climb on. Friends, the bumps are what we climb on, a smooth path up a steep hill. There's no safe footing there. You're liable to slip and slide, but if there's a few rocks here and there to climb on, it'll keep us from sliding. So when troubles and hardships come and the suffering begins, just remember the bumps are what you climb on. The bumps are what you climb on. Oh, thank God. Till next time. My time's gone and I've got to go, but I really feel good. I hope that something I said, friends, will cause you to be encouraged, to cause you to know that God loves you and that he'll never leave you or forsake you. Till next time, may the God of all peace grant that all that you can grow. And you know, I kind of like one old brother I heard say, this fella said, pray for me and I can have patience. And the old boy said, Lord, give me tribulation. He said, you don't understand. I want patience. He said, oh, Lord, give me tribulation. He said, you don't understand. He said, no. He said, you're the one that don't understand. The way you get patience is through tribulation and troubles. So friends, till next time, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, rule in your heart through all your troubles and your trials.